Welcome to Good Health for a Great Life with your host, Rick Barnabo. Sometimes you just need a little push or some connection to bring you from the person who you are now to the person that you want to be. Whether it's about looking better, feeling better, or improving other areas of your life, we're here to help. Now, here is your host, Rick Barnabo.
Good afternoon and welcome once again to the Good Health for a Great Life show. This is your host, Rick Barnabo. Each week, we focus on a different topic, all related to good health and leading your best life now. We'll have guests on a number of shows, including this one, and you'll have the opportunity to call in or email questions, in which we'll do our best to answer, or at least point you in the right direction so that you can get more information on a particular topic. Today, I'm not coming to you from Phoenix like I normally do. I'm coming to you from a remote location in northern Arizona, and I have with me my good friend, Vinny. And hopefully, he'll behave and not bark today. But if you do hear some barking in the background, it's just my good bud. Feel free to call or email me with a topic that you would like to hear discussed, and I'll do my best to make it happen. A word about last week's show. Cancer and exercise, the relationship. We had a terrific guest in Laura Pruitt, and although we covered a lot of information, there was still a good deal that we didn't cover. So having said that, I'm planning on doing another show on that topic down the road and possibly setting it up as some sort of a panel discussion. And we're probably looking at about 4 or 5 weeks for that show, and of course I'll give you advance notice on that. In the coming weeks, we're going to do the following shows. How to achieve and maintain a healthy body weight for life. I'll have a registered dietitian or an RN certified in nutrition on as a guest, and they'll give us information and ideas to get the weight off in a healthy way and maintain it. So if you've been on the weight yo-yo or roller coaster, this is a show you'll want to hear. We're going to do another show on worksite wellness programs. Do they work? The productivity aspect of these programs and how they might incentivize employees to lead a healthier lifestyle and become more productive at work. Among other things, we'll talk about presenteeism. We've all heard of absenteeism, but what is presenteeism and how does it affect the workplace? We're also going to do a show on veterans. We'll have guests on to discuss their issues and problems that they might be having readjusting to life after deployment and what some of the solutions might be. My email for questions is rick@healthstrategiesforlife.com, and our toll-free number here at Voice America is 1-866-472-5788. Today's show is going to be about self-defense. What you should know in order to protect yourself against a violent attack, whether we're in public or in your home. Before I introduce my guest, I want to talk about crime. The "it will never happen to me" attitude that we so often see and hear about with people. I say it can happen to you. One just needs to turn on the radio, television, or pick up a newspaper on any given day, and you know what I'm talking about. And that's only the tip of the iceberg. Consider some of these statistics. Did you know the U.S. has 8 times more crime than Russia? Did we have 0.7% of our population in prison? A vastly higher percentage than any other nation? In terms of pure numbers, more crimes are committed in America than any other nation, and that includes burglaries, car thefts, rapes, and assaults. Still think it can't happen to you? There were 247,730 victims of rape, attempted rape, or sexual assault in the U.S. in 2002. And those are the most recent figures that I could get. There's only a 50.8% chance that an arrest will be made if a rape is reported. It's estimated that only 6% of U.S. rapists that's 1 in 16, will ever spend a day in jail. I guess if you're the type of scum that commits that crime, you have to like your odds. Oh, are you feeling uncomfortable? Well, I guess we could talk about Disneyland if you wanted. Or if you wanted to talk about Fantasyland. But I live in the real world. I'd rather talk about reality in the real world. Not to make you fearful, although a little fear is probably healthy, but to educate you. And let's talk about home invasions for a couple of minutes. You've heard of those. How bold or how crazy does someone have to be to invade your home? Just think about that for a moment. Typically, home invasions happen between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Most home invaders are armed and carrying restraining items, such as rope and duct tape. They usually use some sort of ploy to get you to open the door and are extremely violent. Let me read to you just a couple of snippets, and these are from a couple of years ago. This is regarding a serial home invader in Maryland. So I'm going to read this to you. In one case, authorities said he sexually assaulted a 17-year-old girl after breaking into her family's home in Fort Washington with a cinder block. He forced her to pose nude and took photographs and videos. In another case, Scott, and that was this person's name, and an accomplice, Marcus Hunter, who has already pleaded guilty to federal firearms charges, held up a Bowie, Maryland family at gunpoint, used their debit cards to rob from their ATM, and then stole a luxury car. And this from Seattle. Prosecutors say 31-year-old John Chase was walking down the highway when he saw Ralph Aldridge, 88, in his backyard. I guess Mr. Chase thought that Mr. Aldridge, who was only 57 years older than he was some sort of a threat. Detectives say Chase shot and killed Aldridge with a crossbow. But that wasn't enough. No, that wasn't enough for Mr. 31-year-old John Chase. He then went inside the home and repeatedly hit Mrs. Chase, 83 years old, with a hatchet. I guess Mr. Chase was just feeling threatened that day. Well, let me give you a couple of better stories. This is from San Antonio. Actually, it's from an article in the Houston Chronicle, but it happened in San Antonio. San Antonio Police Sergeant J.R. Fist said two men broke into the house in the 8200 block of Quail Creek at 5 a.m. Now, we just mentioned these things normally happened between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. So at 5 a.m., these two people broke into the home. Fortunately, the homeowner was armed. He shot one of the men dead in the residence. The other subject was also shot in the chest, and he was flown to San Antonio Military Medical Center. He was in critical condition. I don't have the outcome of what happened to him. The homeowner was also shot. He was in stable condition. And this from Oklahoma. And I recall seeing this on the news. This was a couple of years back. And this happened on New Year's Eve. An Oklahoma woman, she was home with her three-month-old son. I believe she was 18 years old. When two men tried to break into her home, she was armed with a shotgun and a pistol, thankfully. And here is the text from the 911 call. Operator, are your doors locked? Caller, yes. I've got two guns. Is it okay to shoot him if he comes in this door? Operator, I can't tell you what you can do, but you do what you have to do to protect your baby. The mother did shoot, killing one of the intruders. Oklahoma police called the shooting justified. And of course it was justified. And we can be thankful that these individuals were armed. Otherwise, I think we know what the outcome would have been. At the very least, the man would have been dead in San Antonio, and the woman would have been raped and brutalized in Oklahoma City. So how do you combat a home invasion? These ideas are from an article on the internet. And although they are all worthy, I'm going to ask our guests for some other suggestions and maybe add a couple of my own. First, don't open the door if you don't recognize the person. This sounds like common sense, but you'd be surprised at how many people do this. Second, make sure you have a strong, solid core door, preferably steel. If you rent, try to reinforce the door jambs and hinges with 2 to 3 inch screws. Recognize that your mobile phone is an asset. Establish or build a safe room in your house with an extra mobile phone. And I really like that idea about establishing or building a safe room in your home. Fortify all exterior entrances, especially rear patio doors and garage entrances. Get a CCTV camera. That's closed circuit TV camera. I don't know about the cost of them, but you could look into that. Have an escape plan. Talk to your loved ones about having an escape plan. What if X happens? Then we do Y. Get a good home monitoring system. And never, never agree to get into a vehicle or take into an ATM machine. More than likely, this will result in your death. What about robberies? They occur every minute. Theft, every 5 seconds. Burglary, every 15 seconds. Auto theft, every 29 seconds. Rape, every 6 minutes. Murder, every 31 minutes. Criminals are cowards who prey on the elderly and those they perceive as weak. I'd like to talk about guns for a minute and cite some evidence that contradicts the argument that says guns should be banned and don't make us safer. Approximately 200,000 women in the United States use guns to protect themselves against sexual crimes every single year. Overall, guns in the United States are used 80 times more often to prevent crime than they are to take lives. The number of unintentional fatalities due to firearms declined by 59% between 1991 and 2011. The UK, that's Great Britain, has approximately 125% more rape victims per 100,000 people each year than the US. They have 133% more assault victims per 100,000 people each year than the U.S. The U.K. has the fourth highest burglary rate in the European Union. And they have the second highest overall crime rate in the European Union. The U.K. also has extremely strict gun laws. How about Australia? Down under. Gun murders increased by 19%, and armed robberies increased by 69% after a gun ban was instituted. And let's talk about our city of Chicago, right here in the USA. Chicago has some of the strictest gun laws in the entire country. So has that reduced crime? The murder rate in Chicago is about 17% higher in 2012 than in 2011. And Chicago is now considered to be the deadliest global city. If you can believe it, there were about as many murders in Chicago during 2012 as there was in the entire nation of Japan. But here's my favorite in talking about guns. After the city of Kennesaw, Georgia, passed a law requiring every home to have a gun, the crime rate dropped by more than 50% over the course of the next 23 years, and there was an 89% decline in burglaries. Wow, that's a very interesting statistic. Well, I am going to go to a break here in a minute. But before I do, if you've been a victim of crime and you want to discuss what happened, or if you have any ideas that you would like to share on our topic, please give me a call at 1-866-472-5788 or email me at rick@healthstrategiesforlife.com. And right after our break, I'll introduce our special guest who'll shed some light on all of this and what steps he would recommend to us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. Are you looking to lose weight, gain lean muscle, improve your endurance? We offer no quick fixes. We do offer healthy fixes and the opportunity to change your life. Health Strategies for Life, LLC offers personal training in the privacy of your home, nutritional counseling, and wellness coaching in person or by phone. As a certified cancer exercise trainer, Rick also works with cancer survivors from diagnosis through treatment and beyond. Call us today at 928-848-0002 or visit our website at www.healthstrategiesforlife.com. Change is challenging, but it's not impossible. In fact, it can be exciting and certainly rewarding. Let us help you become the person you were meant to be and the person you want to be. Whether it's health-related, work-related, or an area of life you want to change and improve on, wellness coaching might help you get there. You can reap the rewards of your best life now. We'll help you develop a fitness plan, set goals, or find and maintain motivation. Call us today at 928-848-0002 or visit our website at www.healthstrategiesforlife.com.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. You are listening to Good Health for a Great Life with Rick Barnabeau. To participate in our show this week, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to rick@healthstrategiesforlife.com. Now, back to good health for a great life.
Well, we are back, and this is Rick Barnabeau, your host, and thank you for joining us and listening in today. You know, we could discuss all the socioeconomic reasons for violence or why in general we think it's so prevalent in our society and our world. But today we're going to accept that it's a given that we live in a violent society and focus more on what we can do as individuals to protect ourselves, our loved ones, in our property. Our guest today is Professor Mark Bryans. To give you a little background on Professor Bryans, he teaches the martial arts discipline known as American Combato, that's C-O-M-B-A-T-O, in which he has been involved for 35 years. American Combato is ranked as one of the top 10 schools in the United States for practical, effective self-defense. And I emphasize practical and effective. It is taught in only two locations, Seattle, Washington, and Prescott, Arizona. Professor Bryans is a seventh degree black belt, currently the highest ranked instructor in the world. He is also a ranked master defensive tactics instructor under the prestigious United States Marksmanship Academy. Additionally, he is a certified personal trainer with 25 years experience. Now, American Combato is a school that was founded by Brad Steiner. Professor Steiner operates in the Seattle school. Professor Bryans was the first black belt given in American Combato by Professor Steiner. Professor Steiner is what is referred to as a 10th Dan. Professor Bryans is a 7th Dan. So I hope I've got that right, and I'm sure my guest will inform me if I don't. But I want to give you his phone number, and I also want to give you his websites before I bring him on. His phone number, he can be reached at area code 928-308-2285. His websites are www.prescottcombatives.com. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Arizona, Prescott is P-R-E-S-C-O-T-T, combatives.com. www.americancombato.com, C-O-M-B-A-T-O, and www.seattlecombatives.com. Professor Bryans, welcome to Good Health for a Great Life. Those are some very impressive credentials.
Well, thank you, Rick. I'm glad to be here.
Great.
Yes, you did get everything right. Professor Steiner is a 10th Dan, and he's the creator of American Combato, which was created in 1975. And
wow.
can I tell you a little bit about Combato?
Please do.
Well, American Combato, as you pointed out, is a self-defense style. It doesn't adhere to any classical, traditional school of thought, and we certainly derive a lot of what we do from the classical approaches, but it has no sporting or competitive aspect. It's a comprehensive, in-depth martial arts system that deals only with self-defense, with and without weapons. And the things that have gone into the system, all of the key World War II methods that were tried and tested, the Fairbairn system, the Applegate system, the O'Neill system, the Navy V-5, just to name some of the World War II combatives that are all contained in American Combato, as well as combat jiu-jitsu, Korean Taekwondo, the Chinese Chuan Fa, better known as Kung Fu, Kenpo Karate, Western Boxing, a very underappreciated martial art form. And a big part of what we do is really the mental conditioning to get people in the right mindset and change thinking where it needs to be changed so that behavior changes. And in this case, the behavior of acting immediately against these murderous scum you so well described. Person who attacks you for real isn't going to be a sport competitor. You're not going to need UFC or MMA tactics. And not that there's anything wrong with those types of sports and things, but they're just different. They're for a whole different purpose. The brazenness, as we were talking about on the break, of these violent attackers these days, they're psychopaths. They're willing to do anything until people really appreciate the scum that they are. And they do what they do because they get away with it and love it, they're not going to be able to deal with them. But when they start to think about that enemy right and their righteous cause of self-defense, they realize anything goes. You do what's necessary to absolutely destroy any attacker who attacks you.
And I love what you just said about a righteous cause, because it truly is.
Absolutely. You would never agree to fight. That's illegal anywhere. You're not getting in a fight. You're being attacked. You're not provoking anything, and certainly any situation that's avoidable needs to be avoided. Only a fool would fight when he could avoid the fight. And when you can't avoid an attack, it's deadly dangerous, especially the case of the home invasions, which are so prevalent. They even occur in the little town of Prescott here.
Yeah, yes, they do. Yes, they do. Let me ask you, how did you come about choosing this as a career, and what drove you to become the best in your profession?
Well, you know, the short answer to the first part of that question was I was attacked. I was the victim of an attack, and I was beaten pretty severely by a group of people. And I was young at the time, and I was a power lifter, and I was a wrestler, but I got into a circumstance that was, of course, righteous. We were invited somewhere, a group of young fellows and me, friends, and some girls invited us to a party, and so naturally we went, and when we got there, we realized we were not welcomed by the men that were there. And as I noted this and we attempted to leave, all hell broke loose, and I'm left alone with one guy and hit by a bat by another and down on the ground, and I got a group of people trying to kick my face in. And, you know, I realized the approach of wrestling, which I really just instinctively took with that first attacker, wasn't right. But, you know, something interesting happened at that point, too. When this guy initially hit me and the attack began, and it started with the one guy with his group of friends around him, my first thought when I grabbed him was to drive his face through the car window that was there. But I didn't do it because it just wasn't in me to do that. You know, I felt, don't hurt him, when in fact that's what I should have done, of course. But my background was a wrestler. I didn't have the mindset to deal with what was about to happen to me. So I naturally just took him to the ground in a takedown. I'm on the ground with him. Not a good tactic in a real attack, but it was just my instinct as a grappler. And then I'm hit by a baseball bat, and then the whole crew is using my face as a soccer ball down there till the police arrive. But, you know, I survived all the physical scars and everything, but psychologically, it really affected me. I just felt about 2 inches tall, even though I hadn't done anything wrong, and it was a really difficult circumstance for any man to have dealt with. But came across this book, The Tactical Skills of Hand-to-Hand Combat, written by Bradley J. Steiner. And it was really extreme. You know, he was talking about all the wonderful tactics of real-world fighting, and everything rang true with me, and I'd never heard a martial arts instructor speak like this. And I ended up meeting with him and training with him, and Rick, my original intention was really just to gain enough skill to avoid that type of thing happening in the future, but as I got going in the art, Professor Steiner was just such an influence in my life. He really picked me up and dusted me off made me understand everything about what I was feeling. And, you know, he also helped me a lot. He's quite an expert in psychology, and I dealt with a lot of depression at the time, which he helped me overcome as a young man and taught me so much about human behavior and why people do what they do. But again, the short answer to that would be I took a beating, and I didn't want that to happen again.
And then once you, that is an incredible, incredible story and an incredible experience that you had. And then you just, when you started this, then you just were driven then, I mean, to become what you are today. A seventh day.
Well, originally I was driven just that if I was ever violently assaulted again, I had been in fights in my life, but they were more, you know, fist fights that a kid would get into, and maybe some a little more serious than that, but I never had a group of people trying to kill me, and I just realized I was never the kind of guy, and I'm still not, that likes fighting. Brad helped me to really understand that about myself, that that wasn't a weakness and that wasn't being cowardly. I still don't like to fight. But I'll tell you, if I've got to fight, I'm going to fight as hard as I can. But you know, when I started the art, frankly, I was good at it. And I really enjoyed what I was learning. And each belt that you were at, white belt, beginning at white belt, you know, moving to yellow belt, the teaching connected right with it. And it just, it bolstered what you had learned and you applied it to other things. And then yellow to green, it did it again. And I just wanted to keep going and learn as much as I could. And at the time, Professor Steiner was in the Phoenix area, and that's where I studied from him. And then he's subsequently moved to Seattle, Washington. And after I graduated from college, I went up to Seattle. I wanted to study with him again after receiving my green belt, which took me about 3 years to achieve in Phoenix. He didn't give the belt ranks away and still doesn't. You know, it took me 12 years really total to get to first degree black belt. But I moved up to Seattle specifically to study with him and found a job up there. And I realized that I wanted to teach this, and that was not a small undertaking. You know, that's one of the reasons why there are only two schools. It's, you're not going to make an American Combato teacher very readily. There's a lot going on to what Professor Steiner and myself do at our schools in changing the way people think and the whole approach to how you train somebody. The conventional idea of sparring, getting out in the ring, is fine for sport, but it will not inculcate the right attitudes or the right techniques for real-world self-defense. But I was driven to be the best I could be, and I've made a career out of it. I've really, God's blessed me with a wonderful life of helping a lot of other people turn their situations around, victims of violent crime, and of course, helping people to prevent from ever being a victim in the first place.
Well, I can, for our listeners out there, what Professor Bryant is saying is absolutely 100% true and accurate. I can testify to that. I trained under him for about 14 months, and I do intend to do some more training with him in the future. But I can tell you from what he is saying, it's very right on. It is absolutely right on. The approach that he takes in class is amazing. And the mental stuff that he talks about, and I'm going to ask him a little bit more about that as we move through this, but I have some more questions for him that I want to ask. And you heard me talk about some statistics and some specific crimes. Why do you think so much of this is happening in today's society?
Simply because we're allowing it. I mean, there was a more reasonable, rational time in history where we executed violent criminals that such things as this were not tolerated. Now, as to why that is, I mean, we could spend a whole show on that. Yes. Brad Steiner would be a great guest for that topic right there. But certainly, we're quick to forgive the violent criminal, and he's not worthy of it. You know, maybe if a kid's a pickpocket or something, he's redeemable, and he shouldn't be punished beyond being redeemed. But violent criminals who assault people. You talked about the home invasions. There was the case in, I think it was Connecticut, where they tied the girls to the bed and lit them on fire. Right. These people should not be circulating amongst us, but for some reason, people commit violent crimes in this country. They get a mere slap on the wrist. They're back on the streets, and the average person out there doesn't have any idea how to deal with such an individual. The first thing is, you show no mercy. There's no ethics here when dealing with such a psychopath. He takes it as a way of life and deals with everybody this way. And it's a misconception of people that if someone learns to be more aggressive than the violent attacker and more ruthless, it'll make him aggressive and ruthless. And that isn't the case. It's only when dealing with a violent assailant. And that's the only way to deal with them. But people need to get on board about why violent criminals do what they do. They don't need any more classes or training or help. They're different than the rest of us, and they enjoy inflicting pain on others. And they should be dropped dead in their tracks for the commission of an attack.
I agree, and I think you hit the nail on the head. There's little or no accountability, and that's a big problem in today's society. And, you know, despite all what we're talking about, the avalanche of media reports, most people go about their business on a day-to-day basis without giving any thought they may become a target for criminal or violence. And I cite the example of recent shooting at a mall in Maryland. I don't think people should become paranoid, but how do you think that they can increase their awareness?
Well, by one, listening to the very things that we're talking about. You know, paranoia is a delusional state where somebody's out of touch with reality. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's being out of touch with reality to head about your daily affairs, realizing that violent attacks do happen, and I better pay attention to who's around me and what's around me. Now, that's what we call mental condition yellow. We use the color codes developed by Jeff Cooper at Gunsight of situational awareness, and yellow is that state a person needs to be in, which is relaxed alertness when they're out and about. This doesn't come natural to people. It's something you have to work at. And they get realistic, like you said in your introduction, that we don't live in Disneyland out there. Anybody with half a brain can see that this world is sometimes very violent, and it behooves anybody to start paying attention to who's around them, and when somebody of a suspicious nature at all is around them, they click up to mental yellow or to mental orange. They move through yellow to orange, and orange is a specific alertness that's ready to fight. What we teach people to do when they're confronted with violence and it's unavoidable is to attack the attacker, to go after him. And self-defense is simple, Rick. It's not complicated. That's one of the things about classical, traditional martial arts. Oftentimes, they're too complex, and even in the cases where they could work, it takes a lot of years to get proficient at them. And oftentimes, this is the whole mental approach isn't there. It's dealing with sport and sportsmanship, and we're dealing with in most cases, the violent psychopath.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah, I agree. You know, earlier we talked about home invasions, and I gave a number of things that I thought people could do to make their home safer. And I wanted to add that I really think a dog is a great deterrent. And not only is sort of a pre-alarm, you know, but if it's big enough, you know, say 75 pounds, you know, some breeds are capable of chewing through you like a chainsaw. And, you know, I can cite Rottweilers, German Shepherds, and Doberman Pinschers as examples of that. And so I would, you know, I encourage people that, you know, a dog is a great deterrent.
I agree with you completely on both cases that, you know, I have dogs and I wouldn't want them to ever be hurt. And I've had trained attack dogs in the past too. But, the number one thing a dog does for me is it alerts me. Mm-hmm. I have four dogs in my home, and if anybody's near the home, they're going to alert me to it. And I'm going to go into that condition orange and be ready to defend me and my family.
Yeah.
And, of course, just as you brought up, the front line of defense is a good quality handgun or shotgun. Now, of course, I don't know what the laws are where all your listeners are, and they need to obey the laws. But certainly this is the action that is required. Like you said, these home invaders, when they come in, they're armed themselves.
Right.
They have their own weapons, and they mean business, and they mean to kill you. As we said earlier, it's the righteous cause. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not trying to take anything from this person. You're just trying to preserve your life. And you got a right to do it in any way possible. And a good
weapon is a way
to do it.
I agree completely. I'm getting a little signal from my engineer. I went over, and we're going to take a break here. And, Mark, we're going to come back with you in about 2 minutes.
Okay.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com. Change is challenging, but it's not impossible. In fact, it can be exciting and certainly rewarding. Let us help you become the person you were meant to be and the person you want to be. Whether it's health-related, work-related, or an area of life you want to change and improve on, wellness coaching might help you get there. You can reap the rewards of your best life now. We'll help you develop a fitness plan, set goals, or find and maintain motivation. Call us today at 928-848-0002 or visit our website at www.healthstrategiesforlife.com. Are you looking to lose weight, gain lean muscle, improve your endurance? We offer no quick fixes. We do offer healthy fixes and the opportunity to change your life. Health Strategies for Life LLC offers personal training in the privacy of your home, nutritional counseling, and wellness coaching in person or by phone. As a certified cancer exercise trainer, Rick also works with cancer survivors from diagnosis through treatment and beyond. Call us today at 928-848-0002 or visit our website at www.healthstrategiesforlife.com. You are listening to Good Health for a Great Life with Rick Barnabo. To participate in our show this week, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to rick@healthstrategiesforlife.com. Now, back to Good Health for a Great Life.
And we are back here on Voice America, and today we're talking about self-defense with Professor Mark Bryant of American Combato. And I wanted to ask Professor Bryant, a number of teachers have been murdered or assaulted by students in the last year. And most of this just results in a lot of hand-wringing with people. Do you think teachers should be allowed to carry concealed weapons, such as handguns, provided they have completed a safety course?
Absolutely. You know, Rick, you mentioned earlier about the place that required them to have a gun in the house.
Yes.
I don't think that's wise to demand a teacher or a home have a gun. But certainly, if a teacher does want to carry and can do so safely, of course. How easy is it for these assailants to come into these soft targets like this? They know nobody's armed in there. And this way, if teachers were allowed to be armed, just some of them would be enough, because no one would really know who it was or who was armed. Of course, it's the only way to stop these kind of atrocious acts. Somebody comes into a movie theater and wipes 15 people out or 20 people out, and the question runs out there, what would stop this? And the answer is obvious. Somebody has to kill that killer in the commission of the crime. And the way to do that is with a weapon.
Yeah, that's right. And it seems like they just want to know, they just want to get into the perpetrator's head. They want to know, oh, why did he do this? And there's so much of that. But what you don't hear is what you just said. You need to kill the killer. And that's the only way that's going to end it. You know.
Yes. And these killers come into these targets that, you know, say the no weapons allowed. They know nobody will be armed in there because good people are going to follow the rules.
Right.
And of course, a killer is not going to walk up to the sign and go, "Darn it, my plans for murder have been ruined. I'm not allowed to bring a gun in here."
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
So sure, teachers should be armed.
You know, a lot of women aren't comfortable with carrying a weapon. What would you say to them to get them to realize that it might be in their best interest? And let me elaborate on that a little bit. If not a handgun, do you think pepper spray or a knife is a good alternative?
Well, pepper spray is not a good alternative.
Okay.
Pepper spray is effective for police officers when they're dealing with someone who's resisting. They don't work for police officers when someone's attacking. That's a whole different thing. A knife is an excellent choice as a weapon, but it's a whole different thing, Rick, psychologically. And if a woman's not willing to use a gun, I don't think she's going to take a knife and plunge it into this guy's throat and start cranking it around. Of all the weapons, the knife is the one that demands ruthlessness the most. A gun is the simplest use. Women, for the most part, and men too, just people in the society, have bought into the brainwashing that somehow the gun will make you less safe. Somehow the gun will cause an accident in your home. And that's just not the case.
It isn't the case. I read earlier a bunch of statistics and things that proves just the opposite. So,
well, as you know, I train people in the point-firing method with a handgun.
Yes.
And I've heard from women I've trained that never thought they'd have a gun, how much it's changed their life, and how confident they are now that they have the weapon and know how to use it, and know that there aren't any little secrets to it where the gun's going to accidentally discharge, that it's only going to fire when they put their finger on the trigger. And gives them a lot of confidence. Some cases, like I say, changes their life.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, and this is, I've been curious about this for a while. What could people do if they're confined in a somewhat sterile environment? And I'm referring to an airplane, for instance, and the unthinkable happens.
Well, you know, the base of our training in American Combato is unarmed combat. And the reason isn't that you should be unarmed. You should arm yourself with a weapon. But the fact of the matter is, there are many circumstances like the one you're describing where it's just not possible to arm yourself with a gun or a knife. Although you could arm yourself, there's plenty of things in the plane that you could learn to use effectively. I've trained, as Professor Steiner has, a number of pilots. And but certainly learning how to use your body and how to fight is going to be the answer to that. Same thing. How does one or two punks get on a plane with razor blades in their hand and take it down? But I don't think that would ever happen again. Not after 9/11.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we would hope not. We would definitely hope not.
Well, I think the people would react differently. You know, that took everybody so by surprise. I don't think anybody thought somebody would take a plane and just drive it into a building.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I wanted to ask you about, just sort of quickly, about some of the legalities regarding combat. You know, you're let's say a person's in an environment and it could be a bar, it could be a restaurant, you pick whatever one, and they're confronted. For whatever reason, they're confronted by someone, and someone is threatening them and, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to kick your ass and I'm going to beat the crap out of you. And you do have an option to either retreat or to leave, but you make the choice not to. And then you engage that individual in violence. There are some legal ramifications to that, are there not?
Well, first off, let me be perfectly clear that I'm not an attorney, and that would ultimately best be asked of an attorney on the show. We're dealing with such a complex entity in the law, but I'm not familiar with too many places that wouldn't be a problem. Certainly would here. In the state of Arizona, you have the right to protect yourself, but when you go under the jury instructions for justifiable homicide, because that's really where you find the law of self-defense. One of the stipulations there is, did the slayer, in other words, the defender, have a retreat option and deny it? And if the answer is yes, he can't even make a claim of self-defense in court. And plus, I think any person would be foolish if they saw potential for violence, had an opportunity to leave and didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And again, that goes back to something that you talked about earlier and something I wanted to ask you about. And that's mental toughness, or maybe I should say mental discipline. And I know that in your classes that's a very strong emphasis. But I think that's, you know, if you're threatened and somebody calls you a name or something, you know, you're kind of, your blood gets boiling and maybe you want to, you know, pop somebody or something of that nature. But it takes some discipline. It takes some mental discipline not to react, but to respond in that situation. And is there a short answer to being able to train ourselves or be trained to have a stronger mental discipline?
I think part of the answer to that is when you're trained in an all-or-nothing method like American Combato. In other words, you realize you're only going to fight when you have to, and somebody's going to end up in the morgue. Somebody is going to end up seriously crippled here. It changes your attitude about things, and an argument you realize could become violent, and in that case, you're going to be forced to a position to seriously harm somebody else or get harmed. I find the effect it has on a person is they learn to avoid arguments. They learn to stay out of those kind of troubles. And they learn right away with me and Professor Steiner, if they can't control that, they're simply not going to be students of this style. Yeah. But it is something, too, I think a man needs to look at differently. Often if a man's confronted, I've noticed, and he feels that to be a man, he must verbally respond to it. And I would say that just isn't so, that he doesn't have to respond to the threat, and he could still make a very strong showing of himself. Really, the other way would show weakness.
I agree with you a great deal. And I wanted to elaborate on my experience in American Combato, but I don't have enough time to do that at the moment. What I want to do, though, is I want to ask you, if somebody's interested in your courses at American Combato, but they don't live in the Seattle or they don't live in the Prescott, Arizona area, can you give us a suggestion?
Well, yeah, we've got a great DVD course, and there are a total of, I think, a dozen different DVDs that are available. Everything is clearly explained by Professor Steiner. It's shown very slowly and directly, and you really learn if you're willing to put into the time. DVD 1 is fundamentals. Second DVD gets right into the basic blows and how to apply them. DVD 3, attack combination. So there's a whole series dealing with everything you could want to know about self-defense, and you can train at home, again, if you're the disciplined person. And also, Rick, the training of the mind. There's a whole hypnosis section that Professor Steiner does. He's an expert with hypnosis. I've done some things personally with him that he's really helped me make some personal, emotional changes in my life through the tool of hypnosis. But one of those hypnosis tapes, you made me think of it, was the ready mind, becoming convinced that it really can happen to you. But there's a whole self-hypnosis DVD on that, as well as building confidence when facing a tough guy. Now, all of these, if you go to Professor Steiner's site, seattlecombatives.com, just go under publications, and you will find his DVDs. You also, if you go to Prescott Combatives, you'll see right up on the toolbar the DVDs.
Okay, listeners, you heard that. Well, we've come to the end of our show, and I truly hope that you've enjoyed it. I want to thank Professor Bryant for being our guest today. It was really terrific. I really hope our listeners got a lot out of it. And I'll look forward to talking to you again in the near future, Mark. And just thanks for being here today.
You bet, Rick. Thanks for having me. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Next week, our show is going to be how to achieve and maintain a healthy body weight for life, so please tune in. But I want to leave you today with this quote. Si vis pacem parabellum. Translated, if you seek peace, prepare for war. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Good Health for a Great Life. Please join Rick Barnabo again next Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time, for another edition on the Voice America Variety Channel. Now, make it the best week of your life.